So, Ron, you were a news director on this day back in 1963. You were at WEBR AM 970, and you were on the air. Describe what was happening.
Well, I was had already prepared the 1 o'clock news, and suddenly behind me, the Associated Press and United Press International wire machines started pounding and ringing bells, which was indicative of a bulletin. So I whirled around and tore off the copy of each one, and one was garbled quite badly. I could see that it was from Dallas, and the other one was quite clear in the sense that it said, President Kennedy's motorcade has been fired upon in Dealey Plaza. And that was the end, or the beginning, rather, of approximately 6 consecutive hours of broadcasting.
This is Ron Arnold reporting from WEBR Radio News. As the world now knows, the President of the United States has been shot to death by an assassin in Dallas, Texas. John F. Kennedy died in a Dallas hospital, apparently as surgeons administered blood, trying to save his life.
What was going through your mind, first off, I suppose, as a newsman? This is a huge story, and yet it had to be one of the most devastating stories of your time.
Well, first of all, you're shocked, just as every listener would be shocked hearing your voice telling what has happened, the terrible tragedy in Dallas. But you've got to get over that. You've got to push that aside because you have a responsibility to factually tell what has happened to our president. So you forced yourself into a very professional mode, as I like to think of it.
Also shot was Texas Governor John Connally. Blood was spattered over the White House car, and the president slumped over the back seat, mortally wounded. Mrs. Kennedy screamed as she reached out for her husband. Both Mrs. Kennedy and Mrs. Connally escaped the bullets that killed the president.
Did you find yourself at any point that day, maybe in the early minutes, ever doubting what you were reading, like that it was so unbelievable that this could be a horrible mistake?
I don't think that ever occurred to me. I was very fortunate. Mary Brady, who worked at the station, and Margaret Russ, who also worked at the station, they hurried into the newsroom because we had a live microphone in the newsroom, and they began tearing the things off the 2 wire machines and then putting them right directly in front of me. And, of course, the material you were getting in those first minutes didn't always agree. And so you had to sort of put a balance into it as to what you believed and certainly hoped was an accurate presentation of what had happened. And so they stayed there for, I would say, probably a good hour. And I killed the mic for a second, and I said to one of them, I said, call Bill Masters, who worked for me. He was the afternoon newsman. And Bill wouldn't be in until 3 o'clock. So I said, call Bill, tell him to get in here as fast as he can. Then I turned the mic back on and continued. And Bill got it downtown probably in about 30, 35 minutes, something like that. So it was a lot easier for me to have a good newsman working with me.
Witnesses said there were 3 loud bursts of gunfire. Some Secret Service agents thought the shots came from an automatic weapon.
That was a time when, 1963, television is really just starting to come of age, I guess. Radio was still in its heyday there. You must have really had a sense that people were following your every word.
Well, yes, you had that great sense of responsibility, because here is a terrible piece of history unfolding before you, and you have to get it out to the audience, the mass audience. And it was kind of shocking. I know my blood was pumping like crazy through my body and all that kind of thing. It was some of the people monitored other stations. Someone monitoring CBS television news heard Cronkite when he said, the latest from Dallas is the president is dead. So she typed that up very quickly and put it in front of me. And even though we weren't a CBS affiliate or anything like that, I said, CBS News via Walter Cronkite has just announced that President Kennedy has died in Parkland Hospital. You know, that's something I'll never forget.
Mrs. Kennedy cradled the president in her arms as his blood-spattered limousine raced to the hospital. Our new president is Lyndon Johnson, who was riding directly behind the president in another limousine. The vice president's wife says he is all right but badly shocked. Doctors are trying to keep him as quiet as possible. Throughout the Texas trip, when Kennedy and Johnson had been in the same motorcade, as an obvious security measure, they have ridden in separate cars. The Johnson car has always been some distance from the Kennedy car, sometimes by as much as 60 yards.
When did it all hit you personally, I guess, that the thing that you had been reporting on for several hours was real? And what did you feel personally after that?
50 years ago, it's hard to recall some of those things, but I do know that when I finally got a chance to get off the air and briefly turn it over to Bill, I just was so wrung out. You know, I couldn't get to the water cooler fast enough, you know, and have a drink of water. And I suppose being a veteran of the Korean War, sudden death was something I was well acquainted with. Lost many good friends there. That probably had an effect on how I felt. You know, Jack Kennedy, I had a lot of admiration for him, and as did almost everyone in the country. And so I felt a loss, but it couldn't be a loss the way I felt when a fellow I just shared a can of sea ration with was killed. So, as a matter of fact, later on, I was working at an Ohio television station the night Martin Luther King was assassinated. And a year later or so, I was working the early morning shift at that station when Robert Kennedy was assassinated. So the experience, if that's the right term for it, that came on November 22nd, 63, stood me in good stead. On those occasions, I knew just what was going to happen. Some of the information you would be fed almost instantaneously would be absolutely correct, and some of it would be marginally so.
Yeah. Do you recall what happened in Buffalo after President Kennedy's assassination that weekend? What was happening in town? What was going on in the community?
Oh, there were so many different reactions at churches, social clubs, etc., that you couldn't even keep up with them all. The community was terribly shocked by this event, and so were a lot of our Canadian listeners, whom we heard from in one manner or another in the coming weeks. There was lots happening in the city of Buffalo at that time because he was tremendously popular here.
He had been here several times before.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember those events and covering them or anything?
Yes, but, you know, it was they had most of the reporters, radio and television at any rate, on a platform, you know, at the airport and things of that nature. And so there was a lot of separation at the time. I remember one time when President Johnson was here, by some fluke, I had a one-on-one interview with him in Niagara Square. And I digress, so I won't go on.
That's pretty fascinating. That's pretty amazing.
Well, at any rate, I asked him a question about the Vietnam War at the time. It probably was the summer of 64, I would guess. And I had noticed early on that a lot of times local reporters, and I don't care what city you're in, will re-ask the same questions that you've seen them answer on national television time after time after time. So I had come up with a pretty good question for him. Today I can't recall what it was. But I asked him the question, and the president put his arm around my shoulder, and he said, "Son, that's a mighty good question you just asked." He said, "If you were me, what would you do?" And it was as if he had hit me right in the nose with an axe, you know. I had never had a question turned around on me before.
Let alone by a president.
Yes, certainly. And later on, it was Governor Cuomo who tried the same tactic. Well, I said to Mr. President Johnson, I said, "Well, Mr. President, no one really cares what I would do or what I think about it. It's your opinion that counts." And when Governor Cuomo did the same thing to me, I gave him the same answer.
good move. Well, Ron, thank you. I mean, obviously, everyone, it seems, that was alive 50 years ago today remembers it. You clearly do. One of those days that will always stand out?
Oh, absolutely. Ironically, this date was my mother's birthday as well. And, of course, we had plans, you know, assuming it was a normal news day, with the family that evening to celebrate her birthday. So those two things are intertwined in my mind and always will be.
The president was shot in the right temple. It was a simple matter of a bullet right through the head, said Dr. George Berkeley, White House medical officer. Kennedy was shot at 1:25 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. He died at approximately 2 p.m. 1 hour ago. The shots appeared to have come from a grassy knoll near the street the motorcade was moving along. In the turmoil, it was impossible to tell whether the Secret Service agents and police returned the gunfire. Bill Stinson, an assistant to Governor Connally, said he talked to the governor in the hospital operating room a short time ago. He said the governor was shot just below the shoulder blade in the back. Stinson said he asked Connally how it had happened, and he said, "I don't know, I guess from the back." Although Dallas is regarded as a center of strong political opposition to Mr. Kennedy, the heavy street crowds were overwhelmingly friendly, but there were a few anti-Kennedy placards. As far as the assassin right now, police found a foreign-make rifle not too long ago. Sheriff's officers are questioning two young men picked up in the area. That's all we know thus far. President Kennedy's mother and father have been advised that their son was shot to death in Dallas. They are in Hyannisport. The president, who was only 46 years old, had spoken at Fort Worth this morning. He was to deliver a speech in Dallas this afternoon, but a killer has sealed his lips forever.